James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready to dive into some. We got a number of things we're going to go over today. And with spring coming to a close, obviously, we're going to talk some more about spring ball. We had Clint Lamb here on the show yesterday. We were joking about it. Hey, we got to squeeze every bit out of A-Day, right? Because that was our final, I guess, showing officially for Alabama football. Now, they haven't finished spring. Remember, the schedule is a little bit different, right? Probably due to this concert coming up this week. And I know Chase just asked about it. You got Morgan Wallen coming into town performing at the stadium, which is pretty cool. Chase, I want to say it's like the first time they've done a stadium concert in quite a while. Now, I don't know who exactly this is going to benefit, whether it's probably definitely the university, right, with it being a stadium. But I don't know if it can help out with NIL. If I had to imagine, there's probably some type of connection there where, and if there wasn't, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. They can use some players to maybe, I don't know, promote it, do something. Who knows? But I don't plan on going to the concert. I like Morgan Wallen. He's got a lot of really good music. But when I saw those ticket prices and everything that was coming out initially when it first was announced, I just said, I have a house not far from campus. So I'll probably just be able to listen to it on my back porch. Matter of fact, me and you just were talking about it. We got WrestleMania this weekend, Chase. So we're going to be busy with that. Maybe we can just, you know, open up the windows in the back while we watch some WrestleMania and catch a little bit of the Morgan Wallen concert while it's going on. I'm probably sure that the station's been doing giveaways and stuff. Is that right? I'm sure. I know Steve and DC typically are doing a lot of that stuff. Are we giving away tickets, Chase?
I do not know if we are, but I know Steve and DC definitely have been going buku crazy with the ticket giveaways. So I've been hearing them like screaming like from the other studio down the hallway. So yeah, it's been like that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I imagine so. Hey, and then probably going to be some lucky folks that do get to go on the station's behalf. So I don't know if it's too late. I mean, it's quickly approaching, really a few days out. I don't know if they officially gave tickets away, but if they haven't, make sure you guys go check that out. I'm sure you probably would enjoy a Morgan Wallen concert in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Heck, I would just go. Again, I like Morgan Wallen. I would go to listen to it. Never been a big concert guy, if I'm being completely honest with you. I've just never. Chase, I'm one of those people, man. Like, my dad, matter of fact, reason he's been MIA the last couple days, this week. Listen, this is the craziest thing, Chase. We get honored with a great award, by the way. I don't know if you guys, you can barely see the award right there, snuggled up next to the Panthers helmet at the top, man. Big shout out to Wyatt. He delivered the award yesterday. Super thrilled about that. I got to find a better spot for it back in the background where you guys can see it. We got to show that thing off. But of course, man, we get honored with this great award. And what do you know, man? To start of the week, the Pastor Payne went from like he was on here consistently. I even made sure I'm like, you know what? You know, I know he's more of a little bit of a guest now, but I'm going to put him and plaster him on the poster because he's, you know, he's a huge part of this show. Even if he's only in and out, he's a huge part of it. What does he do, Chase? He leaves us hanging for the Coach DeBoer interview on Monday. Why? Because he's over there at concerts and golf tournaments. And then we haven't heard from him. But I mentioned the concert deal because he's a big concert guy, right? He's great friends with Hootie and the Blowfish. That's where he's at. I get it. He's enjoying himself. It's his favorite time of the year, Monday after the Masters. It's really fun. It's down at Myrtle Beach. They have a good time. But me, Chase, I've always felt awkward. He'd bring us to like Hootie and the Blowfish concerts sometimes. Yeah, I knew the music. I knew the songs. I mean, I grew up hearing it 24/7. I mean, he basically sang it like it was just instilled in him. But I feel awkward at concerts, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a big singer myself, so I don't want to sit there and sing. Never been a dancer, man. I've always just been a big sports guy, big outdoors guy. That's why I got deer, you know, heads mounted on my walls and whatnot. Big fish over on this wall. You know, it's always been outdoors and sports and listen to music to work out and to, you know, get in my rhythm. But never been a big concert guy. I just always felt awkward. Even my dad would take us. I'm just kind of just sitting there just like nodding my head. Like, I'm not going to sing. I'm definitely not going to dance. What about you, Chase? Are you a big concert guy? I feel like you strike me as a, I know you're big in the church. Are you in the choir growing up, Chase?
I used to play the drum when I was little, so that's kind of crazy you said that. But I feel you though, Christian. I'm not really a concert guy myself, but I don't know. I'd rather just watch it at home. Like, I don't need to be around a lot of people. Just my ears get ringed a lot, so I'm like, you know what? Let me just enjoy the quiet of my home and relax. But yeah, if you're going to the Morgan Wallen concert, have fun. Them ticket prices, yeah, I had to pray about that one.
Maybe, and maybe the Lord will answer and give you a nice little payday. Listen, definitely might want to bring some, you're right, earplugs, man, because you know my brother DJs, and he does a lot. And, you know, when I'm standing next to him with the speakers, depending on how the production's set up, golly, man. The biggest thing that I hate about concerts is when you leave. Again, I don't go to many of them. Or even if I just go to where my brother's playing, if he's doing a show or something, man, your ears ringing afterwards. I don't know if you guys have that problem, but when I'm like, I'm on the way home and then I lay my head down, I'm trying to sleep, my ears are just ringing. And I'm like, man, I completely hate that. Like, I can't sleep. And I'm one of those people that's like, I don't know. I value my sleep, man. If I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you guys probably would not want to hang out with me for a while, man. I'm not myself. I don't have my energy. I don't have that mood where it needs to be. But anyway, I could go on about all of this. We are going to dive into some football talk. Now, I initially was going to dive into because we already did a projected starters list for defense. We had done that weeks ago and really broke that down. We probably need to update that now that we're, you know, wrapping up spring again. They do have one more practice tomorrow that will conclude the spring. So my plan was today, we'll kind of just jump around some things that have been coming up, because I wanted to save tomorrow and Friday for, and we're going to stretch this into the following week as well. Don't worry. I want to do it at one point, like superlatives, right? Like if I said that, you know, that word always drives me nuts. It messes me up. But basically spring awards, right? They didn't do it after A-Day, which, you know, has always been a tradition. You know, you finish up the A-Day game and then you get awards. My dad always brings it up. I don't know why he remembers it. So he remembers it better than me, Chase. Speaking of awards, I need to go find it. It's somewhere in storage. I got named like best linebacker of the spring, my senior, something like that. Anyway, they passed out awards. Well, they didn't do that this year. You know, it's a little bit different now. So maybe we'll do it here on the Miller's Edge. Maybe we'll pass out our own awards. Now, I don't have any physical awards to give the players. I wish I did. Maybe we could work something out. But I want to do a list like that, go over, like, most improved, you know, best linebacker. But even though, to be fair, yeah, it's not like we've been a part of the whole spring practice. We've seen several things throughout the spring, of course, A-Day. So we'll just base it off of that and, of course, the Nuggets and whatnot. But, again, we'll do that to have fun. So then, and I also want to do the projected offensive starters list. But again, I wanted to wait till tomorrow when spring was done and Friday to do that. So we will do that over the next 2 days. But today we'll probably dive into a couple of things. I saw Clint talking about something that definitely piqued my interest about Bray Hubbard, maybe some position versatility there. I know he's talked about this in the past. So he's brought this point up weeks ago. But I know he's mentioned Bray Hubbard potentially moving and playing a little bit of linebacker. So I like that conversation. I think Mike Rodak might have wrote an article about it too. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss a number of other things. Some of the topics going on today. There's something that came up yesterday, man, that I was like, you know, I try to stay out of the way, and I don't like any type of controversy or anything. But I don't know if you guys saw. There's a little bit of a dispute kind of deal with Ha Ha Clinton Dix. He was responding to, oh, Marvin, man. I feel bad for Marvin, but I know he kind of initiated a little bit going at haha. I don't know if you guys saw that whole deal, but I was like, man, I hate seeing like the brotherhood. And they got, you know, public disputes. And I get it. It's probably all kind of maybe jokes, maybe not so much jokes. But anyway, I don't know. I might offer a comment or two there, even though it's none of my business. And I don't want anything to do with it. But anyway, that's what I got planned so far. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get in on the conversation. We took a number of phone calls yesterday, but we'll do the same today. Don't think we have any planned guests. We might have somebody pop in here or not. We'll see. But, of course, we got plenty of time for you guys if you guys wanted to discuss spring, things you saw at A-Day, things you're worried about going, I guess, into this offseason, things you feel really good about. We can talk about the quarterback battle even more. I know that's been a hot topic, and we talked about it a little bit. But since A-Day finished up, we haven't really dove too deep into it. So we always got that as well. Got to remind you, too, if you guys prefer to watch, for all our radio listeners, again, we appreciate you guys listening on radio and definitely encourage you guys to do so if that is your method. But I do know some people are always like, hey, man, we want to watch something. Well, that's why we provide the stream. So if you guys prefer to watch your content, you can always check us out on the streams live on YouTube every day that we do our radio show. Plus, we post extra content there and cut and clip things from previously recorded shows at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, at The Miller's Edge on X, and of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. But don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app. You can go download it on your smart device, smartphone, tablet, iPad, doesn't matter. And it will allow you to listen to not only this show, but all shows on the station from anywhere that you are, whether that's in the country or out of it. So make sure you guys download that app, take advantage of it, drop app messages, all that good stuff that it has to offer. That said, Chase, let's go ahead and hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We're going to have some fun on this Wednesday. It's a nice laid back Wednesday, man. So I want to talk with you guys. I want to talk a couple of things that are going on right now, and we'll just see where the wind takes us right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.
Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WTBC. All right. You guys keep talking about merch, man. So I guess we're going to have to bring it back again. We had it a couple of years ago, and I just kind of slowed down on it. But now that we're doing the streams and everybody's seeing me rock the hats, man, the Dolly Tide hat is like everybody wants it. So we'll, I love it, man. It's just kind of funny. People were hating on Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl, but everybody wants a hat that says basically Roll Tide in Spanish. It's more like Let's Go Tide. But close enough, man. Same thing. Roll Tide sounds weird in Spanish, so we went with Dolly Tide. Anyway, I think we'll definitely start doing some of that. But I love it, man. We got to get people involved in the whole Spanish stuff going on here on the Miller's Edge. All right, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Smitty. Then we're going to have a guest join us in about 10 minutes or so, which is cool, man. We got it lined up. We're just going to rock and roll. 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in, sir.
How's it going? Good, brother.
Talk to me, Smitty. I know we had A-Day. I don't think we've talked since A-Day. I know we've got WrestleMania this weekend, man. So I'm all ears for you, man.
Hey, first at WrestleMania on night two on Sunday on free ESPN, Alabama alum. Oba Femi's going to be wrestling Brock Lesnar. Hey, so yes, support sir. The Bama alum.
Yes, sir.
Hey, wait,
Smitty,
he looks the part.
No, he physically looks the part. I mean, him on the mic is phenomenal. His presence, I mean, even just the entrance. I mean, listen, there's no way they can mess Oba Femi up. But let me not say that because right now WWE is definitely in an interesting spot. But let me ask you this, though, man. You think they let Brock lose to Oba? Because I think this is a good time to let Oba get that dub. But at the same time, part of me is kind of like, man, I don't know if they – if they let Brock go ahead and put him over this quick. I mean, it is really quick. He just got on the main roster not long ago.
I think Brock does it because you can tell Brock likes him, you know. That's money. Now, Brock doesn't care about winning or losing. He cares about it makes sense or doesn't make money. At the end of the day, it's a job. And it just shows that you got former athletes out there doing the thing. And I'm just happy that as a former Alabama alum doing the thing. And he's gonna show out and do a great job. And he represents Alabama people out there. He wears the merch still. He talks about it still. He loves it. He's a great example, and I love him for that. And I'm looking forward to my girl, Jade. I think Jade going to lose the boring Rhea Ripley, but I'm a Jade fan, you know. But, yeah. Oh, by the way, before I get on football,
Hey, go ahead.
I said, if I get on football, I went to a SmackDown here in Phoenix, the last one, and it had the overstruck cam, and people were doing it. So it was like a month ago, and so that thing is over. And so he's pretty popular with everybody, and I'm happy for him. Never met him, never talked to him, but I can tell you he's a good dude.
Oh, yeah. So are you talking about Oba?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny calling him Oba, because I always tell the story, but, like, I mean, I used to see him in the weight room, like, every day. Because even like when I was here back in, I can't remember when it was. It was like when I was finishing up playing more or less. And I used to just work out all the time up here. I'd be at practices like every day, it felt like. But, you know, track works out in the weight room while football practice. So what I would do is I would go work out in the weight room and there would be track and field in there. Then I'd be watching either the team through the glass or I'd work out, then go out there once they started team drills. And I used to literally run into, his name's Isaac, right? So his first name's Isaac. I run into Isaac/Oba like every day. Not every day, but it's just funny because I really got to know him then. And I remember when he signed with the WWE ID program, it was interesting because I'm like, man, I don't think they could have picked a better one of these athletes here because I used to watch this dude. Like, I mean, do you talk about strong? Like, you see him throwing people in WWE, but the way I used to watch this dude move in this Alabama weight room, like, I'm talking about squats, power. I mean, the dude is insane. And he won, like, a number of SEC championships. I mean, the dude was decorated with track and field. And then, of course, man, he got into the WWE program and just it's been history ever since. But, man, I wish I would have fought. I hit him up, like, a year, maybe 2 years ago at this point. But I was just like, hey, man, you need to come on the radio show. I want to talk about what you're doing now. And he was like, yeah, I definitely would love to do that. But I just kind of was like, all right, we'll figure out a time. And then I kind of forgot to get back to it. And now I'm like, man, that would have been so cool knowing he's about to headline WrestleMania in a couple of days.
And a lot of those people do interviews, podcasts. They do all various ones, so you'll be able to get them. I'm just wondering how Nick Saban to get him on a football team to try out at least.
Listen, and he's not the only one, man. Dude, listen, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, because, you know, he's from, is it Nigeria, I believe. And I'm 22% Nigeria. We just pulled up my results of the day. That's funny. Anyway, it's my Nigerian brother. Anyway, dude, the people we recruit, man, from overseas, I mean, if you go look at the track and field roster, like the throwers, man, we had another dude that was probably like 6'6", 315. But, I mean, this dude had no body fat. And I'm like, this guy needs to take he needs to get from in this weight room and go walk out on that practice field. I guarantee you they're going to probably snag him for a few reps. We got some dudes on that track and field team.
It's crazy. But, like, with spring ball, right, when it comes to offensive line, I don't want – and I know you know this, because, like, I remember there was plenty of spring games on the Saban where certain units didn't gel. But, hey, they looked pretty good when the season started. But I just think that I don't want you peaking at spring ball, because the season doesn't start on September 5th, if I remember correctly. I think this is, like, with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. We got to be honest here. You got a bunch of new faces, a lot of young faces, and they completed their 15th practice today, I think. Of course, there's going to be some communications on rough edges, and some of your guys are out. So you got in second to third strings getting bumped up, who should be with them, you get what I'm saying? We all know that, but hey, you're out there, you got the form. Right. I just don't want to overreact, because guess what? If Daniel Hill and the other, like Trayshawn Brown, those guys were around for 150, we'd be talking about how bad the defensive line is. They soft ice cream music in game one. We got to go. And Freddie Roach got to go. Let's just call it what it is. I look at this as an opportunity, because you know this, because you've been around all these coaches, especially since Saban had a lot of different assistants. They kind of like it when they have something to work on during the summer, if I'm correct, right? They don't want you peaking in the spring, because you want that stuff where you know what you got to work on. You got all that tape. And I think once you get Will Sanders back healthy, for example, and hopefully Javon James locks down that right tackle spot, because one thing about blocking, it wasn't just the offensive line. It was the tight ends, because remember, Danny Lewis was out. You know, in the one game he did play, we ran okay against Georgia because he was a good blocker. You know, and the receivers weren't great blockers, because Isaiah Horton looked the part, but he didn't block. The 6'4" guy didn't block well. So, and I think the line last year looks like they didn't, from a guy who's just a fan, they look like they got to the second level that great. And it looks like this line may be a little more athletic. And if they just get the experience and the continuity. But I think with this line, Christian, you got to pick your five and no rotating, because those guys need every snap together, either in practice or in the games. Ain't no more rotating, because you got to get that continuity with those guys, because the talent is there, in my opinion. They just need the reps. And maybe hopefully, and like Georgia last year, they had a young line starting. And towards the end, middle part end of the year, that line got better with the reps and the experience they got.
Yeah. And I think that's probably going to be similar to what you, at least that's probably what you're going to see, right? Hopefully it doesn't take long, but that's naturally what's going to happen when you have young players and new faces, like you just mentioned. Here's my thing. I'm with you. I think picking five guys, rolling with it. And I think that's kind of the direction that they're going. If you think about it, Brian Grubb coming out and naming Jackson Lloyd the starter after practice number three, I think their first practice in quote unquote pads, which I mean, he's just fresh off the field at that point. So he clearly already had that in mind. Very interesting, though, because Kalen DeBoer followed it up like, you know, a week later and basically said, oh, you know, every day there's a competition, and kind of almost walked that back. And then yesterday, I think I just saw an article from Yay Alabama saying he is the starter, and they titled it Earned It. So I don't know what the heck is going on. I mean, it's like, I'm like,
those zeros, Christian, those zeros.
Yeah, I was like, wait, earned it? I'm like, no, I mean, of course, I'm not knocking the guy. Listen, I think from what I've seen out of him, I would say, yes, he's earned it at this point. But I'm like, man, naming a guy starter after three practices, man, that's kind of crazy to title it Earned It. But anyway, no, I'll say this. The only thing I think you could see is, remember, you do have some guys that are banged up. And to your point, in A-Day, most of the issues that I saw, at least like with the ones, left guard, you had – basically, I think what's his name? Not Poe worked in that left guard, I believe. I think with like the twos, but Waldrop maybe. No, I think it might have been Waldrop.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is that dude hadn't really been with the ones. Yeah, through like he's gotten reps there, but you know Ethan Fields played with the ones in scrimmage number two, and I thought he did a pretty solid job. You also got to remember a guy like Will Sanders. He's out right now this spring. He'll be back.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to be new faces that come back in the picture when fall camp comes around. Well, of course, during the summer when they're out there doing, you know, pass rush drill, like we do like one-on-ones and stuff while the other guys do seven-on-seven. That said, only way I think you see a number of movement is if, for example, they obviously like Michael Carroll in at right guard. They want to run the football better. Well, how do you do that? Well, if you're trying to run between the tackles, yes, your tackles are important in the run game, but you need those interior guys to really get some good push. I like Michael Carroll there. And if Javon James can do just enough to do a solid job on the right side at tackle, it makes sense. But say for whatever reason, Javon James doesn't give you what you need, well, I think you could see Michael Carroll kick back out to right tackle. And then maybe a guy come in and fill in at that guard spot. I think Will Sanders ends up as the left guard, as the starter. But then maybe one of these other players that we brought in can work himself into that picture at right guard if they need that. So to your point, yes, I think, and hopefully this is the case, the only movement you really should see with the offensive line is either due to injuries, or if you have maybe like one guy, one spot, and you're like, okay, Michael Carroll can go back out and tackle. That helps us out better on those edges, and then we can find a guy to fill in. Yeah, so I think that's kind of where they're leaning to, because, I mean, they pretty much name Racing Delgado the starter at center. They pretty much name a left tackle. We already know Michael Carroll. So they've tried to pretty much name guys as quick as possible. So it seems like they've kind of got the memo.
I'll say this about the quarterback also. I kind of wish Kalen DeBoer would have said Austin Mack was dinged up at the very beginning, to be honest with you. But at the same time, if you're playing, we expect you to do well, because you've been out there. They say you're out there, you perform. You're out there. If you can't perform right, you shouldn't be out there. But I know he's played well in the scrimmages, other stuff. But here's the thing I think people miss. Being safe could only get you so far, unless you got a super stacked team. With you. If this kid Russell, and like people say, oh, this could have been a sack, this could have been a sack. Hey, you know, if was a fifth, we all would be like laid out in the street right now, you know, drunk. but here's the thing. But I like what I saw from Xavier Griffin. I like what I saw from him. But with Keelan, some of the throws he made staring down the barrel on the money. Sometimes you gotta make a play, make a throw to beat the best teams. And I think sometimes, like people talk about young, this could have been this. There are things you can live with a young quarterback. You can learn from that. Bryce Young started year two. Tua started year two. And I knew that was hard for Coach Saban to go away from Hurts because he did lead y'all to the game at the 290 appearances, you know, 1-1. So it's hard to go get off of that because the players are like, we're winning, you know. And I think with Mac, the thing that might hurt him, and it may cause him to press, I hope it doesn't, is that everybody saw Keelon Russell with their own eyes, what he could do.
Right.
And I know it's probably hurt hard for DeBoer because Matt came with him and with him all those years. Then you build that connection. It's hard. Like it was hard for Coach Saban to go with Tua over Jalen Hurts. It's hard. And that just shows you care. It's not as easy as folks that make it out to be. And I think you can't, you know, it's like it's only just a fan, but I know this. You can't coach that talent that Keelon has. You can't. And I think with Mac, he may end up at Michigan State next year, but I still say this, like Saban always says, he's still going to need both of them. Because remember, Tua got hurt against Georgia, and Jalen Hurts won the game for him. So he still need both. And I just, you know, but I think Keelon should be the guy. He's got to keep stacking days. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Smitty. Good stuff as always, man. Good deal. We got to hit the timeout. We come back, man. I think we're going to be joined by a guest that we used to have on here not every now and then, pretty regularly, man. And it's been a while. So we'll see if we can get him connected here on the stream. When we come back, we'll keep talking some Alabama football. Spring updates, the latest intel coming out of everything right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
advocacy. Month. Give Adam services a call at 205-339-6540 or visit us at adamssvcs.com. Your local expert.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's hit a chat message real quick, then we can go to the phone lines and we'll see if we can get our guest on here. I sent him the stream link, so hopefully he'll jump on here in a minute. But let's see. We got a good question right here from Jay. It says, got a question in regards to 8A and practices. What is a good split for reps one between offense and defense? If the run game isn't getting a push, doesn't that mean your defense line slash scheme is good? Really good question. Let's start with the let's start backwards. I don't know why I like doing that. We'll start backwards. If the run game isn't getting a good push, does that mean your defense line slash scheme is good? Well, technically, it really could be either. It could be your defensive line is really good, or it could be just that your offensive line is not good. So it's hard. You really just got to – that's why it's hard to go off of just one day. I mean, yeah, you can break down specifically 8A, but as these coaches, I mean, they're consistently watching practices, right? I mean, every single day they go on the practice field, coaches go back into the offices, and they immediately go watch the tape. The next day they bring the tape back up with their players. They go over it. They make corrections. They go back out there. And it's just a, you know, rinse, repeat, right? Everyday thing. But to answer your question in terms of, like, what's a good split, I think balance is the key, right? I mean, you don't want to have a spring where your offense is completely just, you know, running through your defense like, what's Coach Saban's favorite thing? You know, number two through a tin horn. I don't know where that came from, but he used to say that all the time, and he did not use the words number two. But you don't want that. You want a healthy balance. I feel like for us, like, when we used to practice, we always had a really dang good defense. And of course, we always had a really good offense. Think about all the players we had. So what that typically looked like was, like, you might have like one day in practice where defense wins the day, the next offense wins the day. And typically it's kind of, you like to see a healthy back and forth, right? So meaning if defense has a great day, offense will take it personal, even the coaching staff on that offensive side. And best believe next day of practice, they're going to try to come out there and really improve, because Coach Saban would kind of just always kind of go off of the day, like what was going on. Like if defense had a good day, he would be ripping the offense, if, you know, and vice versa. But I think, like I said, I think at the end of the day, it really is about balance. In regards to 8A specifically, like just from my opinion, I said this yesterday, but from what I saw, I think there is kind of a little bit of both here, right? I think on one end, the guys that we have on the defensive line, or I guess the front seven, I think they did a nice job. I genuinely think that we've got a healthy amount of depth. I think we've got guys that can definitely go out there and contribute and give you a number of solid reps in this conference, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, Bingley Jones playing in that nose, you got Terrence Green. I thought all those guys did well. Isaac Fogg. I mean, a lot of those guys did some really good stuff. Steve Boumwa, arguably the most improved player on this football team. Really impressive, really disruptive. However, I think it's also safe to consider that the defense is probably a little ahead of the offense right now, and that typically is the case around this time of year. So the way I walked away with it was I saw some positive stuff out of our defensive line, some physicality. I saw them being disruptive up front and doing some really good stuff. However, also took into consideration that this is a very young, inexperienced, and pretty much brand new offensive line. So I think when you look at it from that sense, you can be excited about the defensive line, but I also think it's smart to be cautiously optimistic, because where this young offensive line is right now is not going to be the level of competition this defensive line is going to face when we get into regular SEC play against the likes of Georgia, Texas A&M, and these other schools, right? So I would just take that, not saying take it with a grain of salt, but just keep that in mind. But I also believe the offensive line is going to make a lot of progress, right? And I know a lot of people were very critical of them, and definitely there's things to be critical of. But again, it's all about kind of your expectations and just being realistic here. I mean, no one should have expected that the offensive line was just going to be magically fixed in 14 practices, 13 practices, whatever it was. That just makes no sense. I don't even think it's realistic to expect even this upcoming season that this offensive line is just going to be literally, you know, even twice as good as it was last year, as bad as people, you know, say they were. I mean, there are some, we had pretty decent players on the offensive line. There were some moments that they did some decent stuff. It really was just very inconsistent, lack of execution, couldn't get consistent push, and not finishing things. I mean, it just was kind of all over the place. But really good question. But, yeah, I think I don't know that was a word salad, but at the end of the day, it's about balance. You want to see some back and forth. You want to see offense having some stuff going for them. You want to see defense having some stuff. And I think you did see some decent balance in 8A. Right? Keelan Russell in the offense, you saw explosive plays, but I didn't think that meant the safeties or the, you know, the secondary, I should say, were getting cooked all day. I think they did a good job, but they also gave up some plays. To me, like that's a good example of balance, right? The secondary made some good plays, but the offense also was able to have some explosive ability as well. There's a nice back and forth. Probably would like to see a little bit more balance when it came to the running game, like you mentioned. And that's where, yes, I get your point where it feels like, you know, defensive line might just be that good, but I think you probably should consider the offensive line and where they're at. They're going to be behind at this point in time. Fall camp should be a different story. So I'm excited. I know that's a few months down the road, but really curious to see kind of how things look then after these guys have had more time to go eat wings together all summer, right? Spend a whole bunch of time in the meeting rooms, going out on the field and just kind of walking through the steps, right? Where everybody's supposed to be at, right? There, just things like that. Even though you're not going out there and practicing with pads on, you can kind of just work through, kind of go through the motion of things. And I think even stuff on air could potentially help with some of that chemistry and really knowing what to do. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll go to the phone lines if we don't have our guest on here just yet, but we'll definitely get to him at some point. But let's do this. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we got Hunter up next on the phone lines. We'll get to him, and then we'll keep on rolling right here on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
SEC and Alabama softball with Karen Johns, our softball analyst. Also, Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Your phone calls and analysis. That's Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris
to pay more than one dime down. So get to Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Plus, they have acres of certified pre-owned. TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your...
At TuscaloosaGauntlet.com and race for a cause. All proceeds benefit the Alabama Marines Foundation. The Tuscaloosa Gauntlet. Are you up for the challenge?
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless
Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury. Learn more at AndrewsportsMedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon, the high 85. Clear tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a small chance of an afternoon shower, the high 85. Friday, very warm, a good supply of sunshine, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide. 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. We got our guest. He's on the phone lines. I don't think the stream link might have worked. We'll get it next time, though. We got our guy, though, Stephen M. Smith, who used to join us regularly here on the show back in the day, man. I know Stephen ended up calling an audible, man. Stephen, tell me, number one, how have you been, man? It's been a while, but number two, man, what's been new with you? Because I thought I saw you covering, like, out in Arizona. How the hell did you end up out there?
So, but first of all, Chris, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic. And first and foremost, man, before I even get to me, man, kudos to you, brother. Kudos to you and your pops, man, getting the Abby Award right there. I mean, you guys are doing it the right way. Proud of you guys and the growth of Miller's Edge to a tie 100.9. But for me, been moving and grooving, man, just trying my hand at some different stuff there. The Arizona coverage I thought would look at Arizona State, but you know me, I've cut my teeth in Alabama football, so had to come back and do this the way of the Tide, since that's where, you know, I got my first start off at. And of course now a father of a 4-month-old now, so
congratulations.
Being a dad has been the utmost joy as well.
Oh man, well I love to hear that. It makes sense. I just remember seeing an article, I'm like, wait, Arizona? I'm like, I think Steven ended up out in Arizona. I'm good for him, though, man. But I'd love to have you back here covering Alabama, man. Like you said, you cut your teeth doing it, and always is a great pleasure seeing you around, looking all dapper, having all the suits on. Steven Money Smith, as my dad would call him, as he joined us regularly. We're going to get you back on here pretty regularly, Steve. I definitely want to get your opinion, man. I guess we might as well start there while it's fresh, man. Fresh off the press. A-Day was this weekend. Did you get a chance to attend A-Day? And if not, I mean, I'm sure you've seen plenty of stuff coming out of, I guess the media. So talk to me. Where's your thoughts on this football team coming out of A-Day, Steve?
Well, first and foremost, I didn't get a chance to attend the A-Day game, but I heard a lot. I saw a lot where the clips are concerned. I mean, number one, Keelan Russell's wheeling and dealing. We all knew this. And the two questions I had for Russell going in the spring was, despite the fact that he's 2 years behind Austin Mack in terms of the Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb system, could he still process it, chew it up, spit it out, and command it better than Austin Mack, even though he's 2 years behind Mack? And then number two, could his God-given skill set put him in a place where even that puts Alabama in a better chance to compete and win overall to Mack? And in the A-Day game, we saw old baby, it can. We're talking 4 touchdowns, made a variety of throws, the ability to extend the pocket. I mean, you heard Ryan Williams. It's like a video game of 12 out there. You heard Michael Carroll. He knows how to command the pocket. He can command the huddle. He gets us calm. He gets us ready to play. We respect 12 when he's in this huddle. So you are seeing that Keelan Russell, with a year of growth and development under Kalen DeBoer, under Ryan Grubb, we're seeing what we all thought he was come out of high school in Texas.
Yeah, we really are. And I'm just impressed with how quick he's been able to develop and really get more comfortable and confident in this system. I mean, I think that was probably the biggest hurdle for him, really since getting on campus, right? Just having time under his belt, being able to establish himself in that quarterback room. We know the upside of potential that he's had. I mean, he's had it since the day he stepped on campus. But, you know, as a quarterback, you know, it's imperative that you're able to learn the system, number one, because you're the signal caller. And two, you got to get used to the speed of things. You got to transition to the next level. And for a guy that only has been here a year now, I mean, because he early enrolled last football season, I mean, he has been so impressive. But let me ask you this, Stephen, as impressive as he was, we had head coach Kalen DeBoer here on the show on Monday. And he made sure that he had to reiterate, listen, I mean, and it wasn't like he wasn't taking anything from Keelan, because if you heard the way he talked about Keelan, I mean, he's so impressed with Keelan, but not only Keelan, but also Austin Mack. And he mentioned, listen, if fans, they only saw A-Day, but if they were to have seen Austin Mack's highlight reel just from this spring or even last year, they would be, you know, beyond impressed. With that said, Steven, I mean, where do you think this quarterback battle sits? Some people think, hey, man, it's signed, sealed, delivered, man. Keelan Russell is going to be quarterback one. Where are you leaning? Do you feel like it's a close one still? Do you feel like Keelan Russell's pulled away a lot? I think most people would assume, at least based off of A-Day and some of the reports, that he's probably got the edge of the battle this spring, but you still got summer. And of course, we know you got fall camp. How realistic do you think it is that, you know, Keelan Russell indeed ends up starting game one?
It's very realistic, Christian, and here's why. I mean, Kang and DeBoer, we all expect him to kind of keep it close to the vest, right? He's the head coach. He's not going to give the secret sauce away. We all know this. So he is going to pump up Keelan and Austin Mack. Both had strong springs. But when you look at it from Austin Mack's perspective, the one thing he needed to do, he had to pull away and separate. And there was no separation. And because of the fact that there was no separation, what does that tell you? The development of Keelan Russell made a huge jump. Because when you're able to not have the older guy separate from you, and at the same time in the 8A game, and I get it, it's spring, but when you have thousands upon thousands of fans that are there, this is not televised. Now, it's not put on TV. So their actual eyeballs are looking dead at you on Saban Field, and you're wheeling and dealing like that. The common Joe is like, yo, this is our guy. I go back to Christian 2016, where you had Jalen Hurts out there as a freshman. And Jalen Hurts had the only touchdown pass of that spring game. And I remember you had Cooper Bateman there, David Cornwell there, guys there, right? Blake Barnett there. But we all left that stadium going, no, two Hurts? That's the guy. That's that dude. He had the only TD pass. And we saw it happen. So you look at it from this perspective, Austin Mack needed to stamp it and go, hey, I've separated. It's my job. The fact that he did not, and the fact that Key Ross has not only closed that gap, but now the way he performed in the 8A game, fans are like, whoa, 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 this 12 here looking pretty nice. 12 has made a statement. 12 has made a statement, and in fall camp, it's going to get really fun.
It is. It's definitely going to be interesting once they go back into summer. And I know, listen, quarterback competition is going to bleed into the summer. Best believe that, because even though they're not really practicing, there's plenty of 7-on-7 opportunities, and they're going to be going out there. They're going to be building those, connections with their receivers, and they're going to be trying to establish the leadership. That's a really big portion of the summer, that you're trying to establish yourself as, the leader on the team and winning over the team. That's the period where you really try to do it. Then you got time to spend time with each other and really kick it and, go to work together. Steven, I want to ask you this, and real quick, let me ask you this first and foremost. I know we only had limited time before the top of the hour break. Do you mind pausing with us as we hit a timeout, and then we continue the conversation into the hour number two for the next segment?
All right. That's great with me.
All right. That sounds good. Let's do that, Chase. Let's go ahead and hit this top of the hour break. That way we can stay on schedule. But I got a few more things I got to address with Mr. Stephen M. Smith himself of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. We'll do that on the other side. But first, we got a top of the hour break right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. We're talking Alabama football. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
Late game heroics across the board as the Hornets were lifted over the Miami Heat 127-126 in overtime. Kobe White hit a game-tying three in the final seconds of regulation. And then in overtime, LaMelo Ball scored the go-ahead layup before Miles Bridges had a block to end the game. Bam Adebayo for the Heat was injured late in the second quarter after a hard collision with Ball and did not return to the game. Charlotte now awaits the loser between Orlando and Philadelphia in Wednesday's play-in tournament games. In the nightcap, Denny Advia had 41 points and 12 assists as the Portland Trail Blazers defeated the Phoenix Suns 114-110. Blazers will go on to face the San Antonio Spurs. Tigers closer Kenley Jansen became third all-time in saves, passing Lee Smith with 479. Tigers come from behind to defeat the Kansas City Royals 2-1.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by our guest, Stephen M. M stands for Money Smith from Touchdown Alabama Magazine, man. Been a while, Stephen, but it's great to have you back on here. I wish my dad was on here too, man. I know he would be elated to get to talk with you. I know it's been a while, but next week we'll get you back on, man. I'll make sure that he's definitely on here to chop it up. Stephen, we're talking 8A and the latest. We've been talking a lot about this quarterback competition. I know a lot of eyes are on it, especially given the performance that we saw out of the young man, Keelan Russell, the star player out of Texas. But I want to ask you about another thing, man, the running game, right? A lot of eyes on that as well. A lot of people went into the spring game, and I understand why. I wanted to see how is that looking, right? What's the latest with the run game? Well, if you went to 8A and you were hoping to maybe see a dominant performance on the ground, you probably were setting yourself up for disappointment. But were a couple things, Stephen, I think that we could build off of. There were some moments, right? A couple runs that we saw good execution, nice physicality, some good intensity, but just the consistency is still an issue. What do you make out of the run game, where it's at, Stephen? How confident are you that Alabama can get it going by the time they take the field this fall?
I think it's a work in progress, Christian. I mean, like you said, we saw some good things. Daniel Hill dropping weight. Looks quick. He looks got both a subtle burst to him, be able to get in and out of those jump cuts smooth there. Still got the power to run over guys as well. So some good things from Daniel Hill. Saw some good things from Trayshawn Brown, the other freshman who came in with E.J. Crowell. Trayshawn Brown flashed got potential there. Kevin Riley did some good things. So the run game is a work in progress just due to you have an offensive line that has not all played together before, right? Michael Carroll comes back with the lone big-time experience, 14 games last year, 6 starts between right guard and right tackle, so he's got the most experience. Then you got Jackson Lloyd in here, whom early in spring ball, Ryan Grubb named him as the left tackle. You got some transfers that came in, Rayson Delgado from Cal Poly, who's at center, Javon James at right tackle from Mississippi State. But by and large, a lot of these guys, they haven't played together before, so it's going to take time to gel. It's going to take time to get that chemistry and that camaraderie in line. But I think this is where summer workouts come in, right? You build that bond in the summer. You build that bond in fall camp. You build that bond to where I trust the guy next to me, and that in return can jumpstart this run game because you do have good backs. I know people look at, well, E.J. Crowell is the hot shot 5-star. He's gifted, no doubt about it. But Daniel Hill is good. Kevin Riley's good. Trayshawn Brown's good. A.K. Deer is good. You have a good running back room. So it's going to come down to how smooth can Adrian Clem as the O-line coach and Richard Owens as the tight ends coach, how smoothly can they get this O-line to jail?
I agree. We're joined by Stephen M. Smith of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Hey, Stephen, I want to ask you real quick, man. Noah Rogers unfortunately goes down. A guy that had been very consistent this spring was looking to kind of fill that void left by Jeremy Bernard in that wide receiver room as a consistent weapon for whoever ends up being the quarterback this upcoming season. I want to ask you, now that Noah Rogers has been confirmed to have suffered a very long recovering injury, probably, some type of tear with the knee. I'm not 100% on it. Again, I'm just speculating, but some type of knee injury that appears to keep him out a while. We saw some young guys really step up right there on the screen. We just saw Sadarius Morgan catch himself a nice touchdown from Keelan Russell. Who do you think fills that void left by Noah Rogers' injury, who was really emerging as one of the top options in that wide receiver room?
Well, you got three guys, Christian. You got Derek Meadows, the sophomore, 6'5", who had a very good spring and a very good A-day. He's in that room. You got Sadarius Morgan. You mentioned him, big-time freshman at 6'4", 223 pounds. He comes in thicker than what Julio Jones did when he came in 2008. And he's wearing that number 8 as Julio wore very promisingly right now. But then last but not least, you got Rico Scott. People forget about little Rico. Rico Scott's in his third year, redshirt sophomore from Pennsylvania. He's got some time on task. He's got some production in his bag. So you got all three of those guys with Scott, Meadows, and Sadarius Morgan. It'll be fun to see which one of those three really kind of rises up and takes the reins. But I agree with you. It stings having Noah Rogers go down because in two scrimmages prior to the A-Day game, he was really starting to pop as kind of that complement to Ryan Williams. But at Alabama, it's the next man up mentality. And you got three guys in Morgan, Meadows, and Rico Scott that are prepared.
I agree. I think it ends up being a nice competition between, not that the other guys are penciled in, but I think it is safe to say Ryan Williams and Ryan Coleman Williams, Latsia Brooks, those two guys, they're heavily going to be featured, but those other three guys definitely fighting for that opportunity that has opened up with the unfortunate injury to Noah Rogers. Stephen, I want to flip it to the other side of the football, man. Defense, I thought, did some nice things. The front seven has a lot of question marks and a lot of people are really curious how they're going to look. Secondary, you kind of know what you're getting out of them. But you still, I think, probably walked away pretty impressed with all the depth and the young players that have been stepping up, especially given a number of guys in the secondary not taking part in A-Day. But tell me, starting up front first, man, what's your feel on this front seven that's pretty much brand new on the defensive line outside of a few guys that are returning and then a completely brand new linebacker core that I thought looked pretty solid, one that features Caleb Woodson, transferred from Virginia Tech, but then even guys like QB Reese, Luke Metz, guys that are they've been groomed, as Kalen DeBoer has put it, for this opportunity now that the seniors have left. What do you think about that front seven?
The biggest thing here, Christian, is going to be these are guys that not many people expected to see pop, right? And this is a big year for Freddie Roach because this is going to show the world how big of a developer on the next tier is Coach Roach, right? Because you look at it, people thought James Smith was going to stick around. He hits the portal. People thought Keon Keeley and Jordan Renard and Kelby Collins, those guys would stick around. They did not. So now you look at a Steve Bomo in Balmoa. Big year for him coming up. Now you look at an Isaiah Faga. Big year for him. Now you look at a Jeremiah Beeman coming back from an injury. Big year for him. Now you look at an Edrick Hill. Big year for him. On playing at that edge of wolf position, Yanze Pierre, we saw him pop last season. But who helps him? You bring over a Dez Zumo from South Carolina. And then here comes this Justin Hill kid who's got edge bending ability in his own right. So the question becomes, who are the guys that pop as those edge rushers that affect the quarterback? Christian, when you played, they called y'all the creatures. Because it wasn't just you. It was Tim Williams. It was Ryan Anderson. It was Jonathan Allen. Everywhere you turn, a quarterback was like, my God, help me, because I'm about to get killed out here. So who sets up as those guys for this year's team? You saw Yanze Pierre. But who helps Yanze? Is it a Dan Zulu? Is it a Justin Hill? Could it be a Devin Tompkins? Who pops off as those creatures to where whenever our quarterback turns his head, he's looking for dear life going, when am I going to get my head taken off next? Who's next to come at me? So this is the beauty of Kane Womack here in this 4-2-5 defense. We saw him all spring. He's tried to blend that wolf and bandit position together to get more edge rushers on the field. But who becomes those guys that pop off and really take on that moniker of, hey, bro, meet me at the quarterback?
Listen, I love the way you just put that. Creatures. I didn't know that's the term you guys came up with. I like that, man. Creatures. That's
y'all was some real creatures, bro. Y'all was some real, and I got to see y'all in person. Y'all was some real deal creatures.
Oh, I remember every day, and you used to love the outside linebacker room when you'd come out there on the media portion, man. Yeah. I always looked up. We're working the pass rush drills with Tosh. I see my guy Steven right there. He's got that phone ready. He loved getting them clips of those outside backers, man. Always. There goes Steven.
I'm just saying. So that's the big question now is, can Kane Womack, can Christian Robinson, can this defensive coaching staff, Freddie Roach, pop out that same kind of intensity? The bodies are there, yes. The talent is there, absolutely. But now can you pull it out of them? That's what the Bama Nation and the consumers want. Can you now pull it out of them?
Yeah, no, and I was just explaining this over the break. You know, I think you got some really good players that you can work with. Now, you know, you use the term creatures. Do I see us having a bunch of creatures that – you know, resemble some of the guys that you just were mentioning? If I'm being honest, I don't see a bunch. I like Justin Hill a lot. No. I think he's a creature. I think Yanze is a creature. Yeah. I think a guy like Tompkins can end up being a little bit of a creature. But I think you just have to have realistic expectations. You know what I mean? And I think at the end of the day, you can do some good stuff with the guys that we have. Now, are they going to look like maybe Jaron Reed and Jonathan Allen? Probably not, right? If I'm just being completely honest with you. But the day, you know, that we're in now with college football is a little bit different. I just think, you know, it's hard to really stack pile those types of players. But if they can just be disruptive, they can be physical, right? Set the tone up front of those backers, can be physical, play downhill, scrape, run to the football, swarm, like they like to call it. I think this defense can be solid because, you know, the secondary we talked about, really impressive stuff. And they're deep and loaded as well. One last question for you, Steven, before we let you go. Again, we're joined by Steven M. Smith of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Steven, when you look at this football team as we make our way out of spring, now, the win total, I think, according to whatever sports book, I'm not a betting man, but 8.5 is like the over-under for Alabama. You know, I think myself and a lot of people, I think we're riding around that 9-3 number right now where things sit. I want to ask you, after everything you've been able to see this spring, where would you be at on that over-under with the win total for this football team? Do you think this football team, from what you've seen, looks like a team that can go contend for a national championship, maybe try to make their way back to the SEC title game? Or do you feel that they might be a little bit too young? They might be a little too inexperienced, maybe don't have enough answers up front on the offensive line to really to make that step? Where do you feel like this Alabama football team finishes this upcoming season?
I think it returns Christian to Atlanta for an SEC championship. I think it can contend for that. I think it can return to Atlanta for the SEC. Now, for the college football playoff, I think it can get to at least round two. I don't see it as a national championship contender just yet. Now, there's a couple factors that can get it there. Number one, if that offensive line gels, then this becomes a whole different conversation. If that offensive line gels, that's number one. Number two would be if the guys defensively can develop into, like you mentioned, not necessarily creatures, but if they can affect the quarterback in a way to where they cause havoc, then we're seriously having a different conversation. So those are my main two things. Offensive line and defensive line. If the two things of trench warfare played a part, then this is a whole different conversation. But just right now, at least back to the SEC title game.
Yeah, listen, I think everything's kind of riding on the guys up front, for just being completely honest here, man. I mean, like you mentioned, the offensive line, they got to do their part. I like the weapons that we have. Even like you mentioned the running backs. I know they struggled a little bit last year, but they look much improved this spring. And then you're seeing what the quarterbacks are producing. I think we're in good hands there. But the big boys, man, can they be nasty? Can they set the tone? Can they establish that line of scrimmage and really help those guys out? We'll have to see. And I think a lot is riding on that. And, of course, the pass rush, like you just mentioned. So I couldn't agree anymore. Steven, man, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with me, man. It's been a while, and I'm glad we got to do it again. We'll definitely start doing this every week, get back on the schedule. But before we let you go, man, please tell the good folks where they can find you and keep up all with the latest that you got going on.
Oh, yeah, they can find all the good stuff there, touchdownalabama.com. That's touchdownalabama.com. There is where getting everybody through the spring ball and now into the summer. So they can check that out right there. And then on YouTube, it's Touchdown Alabama Magazine, where we're putting out videos, we're putting out content, just keeping people informed and entertained as we hit this summer.
Love it, man. Love it, and love having you on here and chopping up some football talk with you. We'll make sure we do it again next week, Steven. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, take it easy, Christian. Hey, you're the man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. All right, we got to hit a timeout. Love my guy, Stephen M. Smith, man. He brings energy. He brings a passion. Like I said, man, Stephen and I go way back. I remember, I'm not kidding, doing those bag drills with Tosh. And I just look, man, like my guy, Stephen, made sure he stopped by the linebacker, outside backer drill. Every time, man, he was out there. And make sure he got all those clips, man. He wanted to keep up with us outside backers, so I respect him. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 1.9, 1230, WTBC.
9,000. That's 900-9,000 for a free consultation. No fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
Example, 25 Dodge Hornet, 32850, dime down, 575 a month, 60 months, 6% APR, plus tax, tag, title to qualified buyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon, the high 85. Clear tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a small chance of an afternoon shower, the high 85. Friday, very warm, a good supply of sunshine, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Just hanging out, having fun, man. We're just seeing where the wind blows. We're kind of just really hitting on Alabama football, spring practice, latest intel, all that stuff we've been talking about. You know, updates on kind of where we see things, you know, fitting and turning out based off what we've seen this spring. Now, tomorrow and Friday, I think we'll aim at the, you know, projected starters on offense. I'm finishing up my graphic on that. I got late last night and I was like, I need to take it on it. And then we'll also do like the post-spring awards. Again, we're waiting until spring officially ends to do those things, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the final day of spring practice, meaning it is officially concluded. So we'll do the projected starters either tomorrow or Friday. Then, of course, the spring awards. So y'all start thinking on that one for tomorrow or Friday, right? Who would you award some of these guys? And I guess we need to come up with the measure, Chase. So I definitely need to do or want to do most improved offensive player, most improved defensive player. You got to do those. Trying to think of the other awards that we used to have. And please, guys in the chat, help me out with awards that you think we should do or that we used to do, because I don't remember all of them. But you always got to do most improved. So I want most improved offense, most improved defense. And again, make sure you save it for when we do it tomorrow or Friday. What other awards, Chase, am I missing now? We could do MVP, offensive MVP, and defensive MVP. So we got four already. We need some more awards. And please, man, get me on the pronunciation. Is it I said it right earlier, I think. Superlatives? Am I saying that right? Please tell me I'm right.
Superlatives?
Chase? Is that right? Superlatives?
Yes.
Okay, so I did say it right. I had to hold my head there for a second because I'm like, man, that would have been bad to do that live. I didn't want to butcher that one. All right, so we got offensive and defensive MVP, offensive and defensive most improved. What should we do for the other awards, Chase? We need a few more. I feel like I'm missing a couple big ones. Maybe do like a defensive line MVP, linebacker MVP, and say, should we do an MVP for every position, you think?
We can try. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, okay, so we can do that. So we can do like best quarterback, best running back. But that's going to get kind of hard. And should we base it only on A-Day? Here's the other thing, because like if I'm doing it, I would want to do like on the whole spring. But I understand that 95% of the people here only got to see A-Day unless you're a member of, you know, I guess Yay Alabama or able to see a scrimmage or just happen to go to practice. So what do you think on that, Chase? Should we do, or in chat, I'm asking you guys too, should we do these awards based off of only A-Day? Because that's going to look a lot different. If you're doing A-Day performances only, that's probably going to look different than if you did the whole spring. Chase, I'll ask you first. What do you think's best? Because when we used to do the awards, and I'll let you guys answer. I know I'm talking a whole bunch and dragging this out. But it was always based off of the whole spring. Like the coaching staff passed out awards based off of spring. So I was thinking maybe that, but I don't know. But I mean, you guys have read plenty of intel. I guess you could use that. What do you think, Chase? A-Day or whole spring?
What I was thinking about, Christian, is like, since you have the eyes and ears of what's going on in the spring, maybe you can give your like special like nominees of that award, and then like the fans who saw A-Day, and I guess myself included, we can just do A-Day alone, because you know we don't have the same access you do, and plus you can give more in depth in terms of like, you know, if we pick a player on the offensive side of A-Day, you can be like, oh, well, you know, throughout spring, he developed in these areas. He got better in this area. Oh, he's still kind of working in this area. I kind of disagree. So kind of like giving two sides to the equation.
That's cool. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you now. I mean, like, I'm not seeing it like these coaches are, where they're going to every single practice and watching tape on everything. But I get what you're saying. So I do the best that I could. We'll do it like that. So we'll plan on doing that. I think we can do it on Friday. I think we do it on Friday to kind of go into the weekend like that. We'll do projected starters on offense tomorrow, and then we'll do the whole, I guess, final spring awards on Friday. So make sure you guys keep that in mind. Friday, we will definitely plan on doing that here on the show. And tomorrow we'll go over our offensive starters, then we'll run back to our defensive starters and see if we're making any types of changes now that we're a couple more weeks into spring and wrapping things up on that. I know we had Hunter on the phone lines. I don't know if he's still there, Chase, but if you wanted to check and see if he's still there, we can see if he's on the line. If he is, we'll take the call. If not, we're due for about another break, and then we'll hit a timeout and keep on rolling. But let me see if there's something in the chat while I let you check on that. I know we were talking about some of the defensive stuff. Oh, Hunter's still there. Let's do this. I hate to keep them waiting, but we're pushing against this break, and I want to stay on schedule. Let's hit a timeout. We'll do it a couple minutes early. Then when we come back, we'll take Hunter's phone call, and we'll keep discussing everything we got going on right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Bluetooth kits, and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy
for you. Stuff a couple of hot dogs in them at the food trucks while you enjoy the great music of Whiskey River. Visit www.tuscaloosagauntlet.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Hunter up next. Hunter, welcome in.
What up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up? How we doing?
Man, can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar. How's everything?
Everything's good, man. I got two questions, actually.
Talk to me.
Okay. So, what's one hidden issue on this team so far that nobody's really talking about?
One hidden issue that nobody's really talking about. Dang, that's a good question. One hidden issue, man. I'm trying to think of something that I mean, we already know about, you know, offensive line play needing to be better. I don't think the pass rush one is definitely, I wouldn't necessarily call it hidden, but I do think people overlook, you know, generating pressure with just four. If you just look at what we've been able to do or lack of, I should say, that needs to be a lot better, and I don't think people talk about it a whole bunch. Man, I mentioned yesterday about the field position battle when Reed brought up a great point about who the returner is going to be. That's a good one. I'll go with that one, man. Field position battle was a struggle for us last season, right? And that all comes with special teams, whether, you know, it's punting or whoever's returning the kicks. We didn't do a great job of putting ourselves in good positions, so I would probably say that from a special team standpoint, right? We need to be much more explosive on special teams. We got to be more consistent, right? Putting the football in positions on the field where the offense can have a chance, right? That way you're not working, you know, against the eight ball, and you're not also giving the opposing team the ball. Like if you think about the SEC championship game, think about how many starts Georgia's offense had. I want to say nearly all their touchdowns came from our own territory, right? I think, you know, the block punt or sometimes we've had turnover on downs, whatever the case may be, or a shank punt, like those things are important. And if you look at last season, the field position battle for Alabama was a struggle, and that put us in some really tough situations. So I would say that's definitely something that needs to improve. But that consists of returners, the punter, just special teams in general. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what I was looking for. So, yeah, that's what I was actually thinking about this morning. So, my other question is, so I remember I think it was sometime last week on your show, he was kind of saying the last 2 years, the comparison of like which football program is better, Bama or Ohio State. It's obviously State that we can all agree on. So here's my
you would think, but I think some people, they get offended when you say that. And to be fair, I think, listen, the criteria is not the same either, right? I mean, we have a new head coach, or was a new head coach, right, over the last couple of seasons. So clearly that's an advantage for them. It's going to be a little bit of a disadvantage for us, right? We had a number of players at the portal. So I want to be clear. I already knew with that question, right? It's not necessarily apples to oranges, but it was brought up from the whole James Smith video. And I was just saying, because there's a number of Bama fans that were mad at what he said. And I just was saying, in my opinion, like, you know, he's comparing a program like Ohio State. It's not like the dude went to Kansas and was talking crazy like that. I mean, Ohio State, like, look at the draft picks that they had, the success. They've won a national championship. I mean, they're a damn good football team. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. So here's my question. So for the last two seasons, which better program, Bama or Georgia?
See, and that was the one we were supposed to follow up with. And I think we forgot to do it the next day, man. Listen. This could take a while. This could take a while to really go. I mean, what do you think? I'll give you my answer, but I want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah. So, okay. So, we obviously have the head-to-head, right? We're 2-1 the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. They got us in the SEC title. We got them in the regular season. So, really, the only thing Georgia has over us is SEC titles. So, do you give Georgia that? Or do you just say, hey, head-to-head really matters?
Yeah, see, and that was the problem that I ran into when I was doing this. I mean, because the head-to-head, I think, is very important. But if you're saying, like, just overall program success, I think that clearly goes beyond the head-to-heads. That said...
Yeah, for sure.
If you're going off the... This is what's confusing. If you're going off the last 2 years, I think it's definitely close, but I might, if you look at it, Alabama, Georgia's lost in what, the first round of the playoffs the last two seasons, if I'm not mistaken?
They haven't won a playoff game since 22.
Right. So I was about to say, they've lost in the first round. They've made it, but they've lost. We missed the playoffs 2 years ago. They made it, but they lost in the first round. We also lost our bowl game. Last year, we both made it. We advanced, and we were one. And I was talking with Wyatt about this. We were one of the first and only, or few teams, to actually go and win a playoff game on the road, which is definitely important. But then you look at Georgia winning, you know, back-to-back SEC titles. And to me, I know a lot of people overlook the conference championship game, especially given that there's talks of us moving on from it, including from athletic director Greg Byrne, saying it feels like it's kind of run its course. If I had to go off of the last two seasons, man, given everything we just said, I almost think it's close to being a wash. If I'm just being honest, because between the head-to-heads, their back-to-back SEC titles, but then also from the playoff performances, I mean, they made it the last 2 years. We only made it one in the last 2 years, but we advanced further. They lost in the first round of both of those 2 years. So, I mean, I guess depending on what you value more, the head-to-heads or the success in the SEC championship games, to me, I wouldn't mind if you call it a wash. Now, if we go over the last 5 years, I would give them the nod. I would say Georgia has been the better program over the last 5 years, and that's because they won back-to-back national championships in 22 and was it? Wait, hold on. No, was it 21 and 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so technically we're in 2026, so that would just make that five-year cutoff. So if I'm looking at Georgia versus Alabama the last 5 years, it's not a question to me. Like, I even as a former player, I love Alabama. I try to come up with every excuse I can, but I can't deny a team that won back-to-back national championships and back-to-back SEC titles. Yeah, got to be realistic. Yeah, Georgia's been the better program. So, but the last 2 years, I would say it's probably a little bit of a wash. If you ask a Georgia fan, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? We won back-to-back SEC titles. We made the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear that, but at the same time, I like to put emphasis on head-to-heads, even though that's not the whole outlook for the program. But it's like, how am I truly going to give you the upper hand when the last three times we played each other, twice in the regular season and once in the SEC title game, we got the better of you, 2-1. And we went on the road and beat your streak. We hadn't lost at home in like damn near 2 years. Really, it's a really good conversation. I'm glad you brought it back up, Hunter, because we were supposed to really dive into it. The only other thing I feel like I'm missing is because with the Ohio State comparison, we at least brought up like number of draft picks. I feel like it's just kind of interesting to throw that in there because I think what you're producing to go play at the next level, we always talk about that with Alabama. Like, not only did Alabama, you know, play in a, you know, number of national championships and win them, right? But also the talent that was being produced and put in the NFL. I don't know how we would stack up with Georgia. I know Ohio State might have had us beat a little bit over the last 2 years. I'm assuming it's, they're probably relatively similar. But, yeah, Georgia probably has us beat a little bit too because I'm just trying to think of – I know they've had some, you know, several first round. I know it might have been outside of the two-year window, but I remember when they had the D lineman, right, Jordan Davis and what's his name? The dude that's always getting in trouble.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jalen Carter. I'm trying to think. Did that – no, they had the outside backer go first round too. I don't – Nolan Nicole Davis. Dean. Didn't N'Kobe Dean go first round too? Yeah, I can't remember if N'Kobe – I can't remember if N'Kobe went first
Eagles.
Round.
I mean, they're all at the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think N'Kobe went first round. I could be wrong. I think he might have went second or third, but he's definitely a damn good player. But
he might have went second.
Yeah, he might. I think he might have been a day two guy. But, yeah, nonetheless, man, it's interesting. It's definitely a great conversation. I'm curious what our fans think. Right, I know they probably hate this when they when they hear you kind of just be objective. Well, but, I mean, I like conversations like this.
It's good debate.
No, it really is. What did you give an answer on the last 2 years versus last 5 years, Georgia versus Alabama? I can't remember if you did both.
I did. Well, I mean, I said Ohio State for the first one. I mean, it's,
oh yeah, yeah. You haven't given your answer on the Georgia one. Yeah. You gotta go ahead and throw that in there, Hunter.
The Georgia one, like, I kind of agree with you. It's like it's so close, but you kind of have, like, me personally, I kind of gotta give Georgia the push because of the two conference. But if Bama was to win it, like if we was to win it last season, we were tied for the conference championships, then you got to give it to Bama because we got the head to head.
Yeah. That's honestly probably how I look at it. Like, if I'm being completely transparent, like, I'm not mad at a wash, right? If I'm leaning a little bit of Bama favoritism here, but I'm with you. Yeah. I'm one of the people that I respect the SEC championships. And if you're a back-to-back SEC champion and we're talking about just program success, I would give the nod realistically. I'm going to agree with you. I'm just going to go ahead and say, yeah, I'd give them the nod on both last 2 years and last 5 years. But I do think it is important to throw in there. Alabama had their number during the regular season and has also done some good things that they haven't necessarily done. So slight edge for them over the last 2 years. I'd agree with that.
I mean, people got to realize Bama went into Athens and beat Georgia. And Georgia hasn't lost a home game since 2019 against Carolina.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that long ago. Yeah, and that's why I said, I mean, if you want to do a wash, I'm cool with that. But I also am with you. If you value SEC championships the way I do, I think it's inevitable. You got to give them a little bit of a nod. And listen, when we say, at least when I say this, I'll speak for myself. I don't get mad or think it's like a bad thing to say these. I think Alabama fans don't like hearing it, but at the end of the day, man, if you're being stacked up against a program like a Georgia, like Ohio State, nowadays with the landscape that you're in, even if you're just in that conversation, I think that's really what you can ask for. I think just the reality is it's just smart to slowly start. I'm not saying to lower a standard because I know people are going to hear me say that, but like, hell no, we're Alabama. We're not lowering nothing. We're the standard's the standard. Yeah. This is coming from a guy who lived it every single day for 5 years. I just think you have to understand the game has evolved some. And, for example, look at Texas Tech. They just got another, I think, five-star edge rusher. Tell me what five-star back-to-back players were going to Texas Tech before NIL was a thing. I'll wait. All right, so now you've got a program in Texas Tech that is now on the map. You got a program in Indiana that went from the second worst program in history, the history of college football, that just ran the table and went undefeated, right, and won the national championship. So if you're just being real with yourself, yeah, our standard for Alabama needs to be lowered slightly. And that's coming from a former player that lived it. Like, I'm just telling you. Yeah, I think that's being realistic. Now, don't get me wrong. I want Alabama to be, you know, have the same expectations as we've always had because I expect excellence, not just out of Alabama, but out of pretty much anything I do. Like, I'm competitive. That's not to say, oh, I want us to be less competitive. That's just to say we're now in a 12-team playoff situation that could grow. We now are playing 9 SEC football games in a year. Things are a little bit different. The 9-3 is like the old 10-2. 10-2 is kind of like the old 11-1, in my opinion. Things have evolved a little bit. I just think being realistic like that, just it makes you just have a little bit less stress, and you're just updating your software a little bit, as I would say.
Yeah. Rookie, before I go, another thing that you mentioned with like the Texas Tech and Indiana's, who it, like, if NIL and transfer portal still wasn't a thing to this day, Vanderbilt would not have five-star Jared Curtis right now.
That's another example. That's a great point. Or they wouldn't have had, because remember, Diego Pavia, he came with his offensive coordinator from wherever they came from. They went to New the Mexico, portal and got a couple New other Mexico guys. State. Yeah, yeah. And what do you know? Look at them now. I mean, they beat Alabama. They beat Auburn, I think, in back-to-back years or something like that. I mean, like come on, man. Like,
went 2-2 last season? Like,
yeah.
You don't see this.
Hey, look at the caliber of players Missouri has. Look at the caliber of players Missouri has and get. Missouri's defense last year was a damn good defense. They had some dudes on that team. Not to mention on offense, too. I mean, the backs that they had, I don't even know where they, you know, I think, matter of fact, one of the backs transferred from a smaller school and, you know, I'm forgetting his name, but the one that had all those yards. I mean, like, dude, they're the teams of the past that were kind of like laughable are now becoming pretty dang relevant. And it's because the game has changed. So I think you just got to take that stuff into consideration. Hey, man, really good conversation, Hunter. I appreciate you bringing that point back up. Great stuff, man. Really. Yeah, man. Yeah. Really? Hey, anytime. Ahmad Hardy. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, anytime you want to jump in on here, man. And you mentioned you're starting up your stuff, man. Before I let you go, shout out your show that you're doing or your podcast or content.
I appreciate it. So we're live every Friday night, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on YouTube on Roll Tide underscore Nation. Our show is called The Bama Blueprint. So we got 3-star defensive lineman A.J. Pauley coming on this Friday night. So it's going to be an exciting show.
Nice, man. Nice. Great conversation, man. Appreciate you calling, brother.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Take care. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. I appreciate it because he was patient, too, man. I know we had Steven on here and he had called just before that. But, hey, good stuff, man. But we got to hit time out. I want to get y'all's answer when we come back on that because, I mean, we were supposed to hit that conversation. I know it's a tough conversation to have as an Alabama fan, but just if you're like us and you just like good debates and honest conversations, how would you stack Alabama up to Georgia over the last 5 years and in the last 2 years? If you heard me and Hunter, looks like we're giving the nod to Georgia pretty much on both, but curious y'all's thoughts right here on the Miller's Edge, Title 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to talk SEC and Alabama softball with Karen Johns, our softball analyst. Also, Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Your phone calls and analysis, that's Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show.
For every vehicle act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Payment for you. We've upped our protection program. 12-month, 12,000-mile factory-type protection. Townsend Honda, Skyland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon, the high 85. Clear tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A small chance of an afternoon shower, the high 85. Friday, very warm, a good supply of sunshine, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot! Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Don't you guys just love when the conversation just takes care of itself? I told you guys, man. I'll be honest. I don't always have just like some detailed list on what we're about to hit, man. Like, we got our main topics, and we just let the conversation flow. I told you it would happen, and that's exactly what would happen, man. Shout out to Hunter. Brought up a great debate that we initially were hitting on, I think, last week, but then we forgot to circle back to it. We got caught up with something else, per usual. But really good conversation comparing programs over the last 2 years, but also the last 5 years. Now, again, this is a conversation for people that like to be objective, that don't mind some honesty, even if the truth hurts just a little bit. But I think that's good. And the good news is I think a lot of our listeners, they're cool with that. They appreciate that. Chase, I want to get your thoughts and perspective on this. I got to put you on the spot, man. I know sometimes it's nervous stepping in those waters when you got to be objective and somewhat kind of give the nod to another program. But I'm going to ask you, what do you think when you compare? Because we already did the Ohio State one, so we'll stick with the Georgia for today. Alabama, Georgia, both football programs stacked up head-to-head last 2 years, last 5 years. You heard the criteria. Who you got?
I think if you're going to start with the last 2 years, I'll pin it to Georgia. I don't want to say Georgia, but just I think talent – wise, production wise, if you compare coaches, coaching staff, I just feel like Georgia has that edge right now. But if you compare it 5 years ago, I'll give Alabama the nod. Just the trajectory where they were going at, you know, especially still having Nick Saban at that time and what he was still able to do. And Kirby just couldn't find Alabama's number at all and still hasn't. Even though he got us back with the SEC championship game, it's kind of been a little bit of a struggle. But in terms of production, in terms of just talent, I would just give that nod to Georgia. Now, if you give me maybe two more years from now, I think that turns the tide, quote unquote, and you give Alabama the nod. But I think right now, I'd have to give those stinking Georgia Bulldogs.
Wait. So when you said the last 5 years, you gave the nod to Alabama?
Yeah.
So are you going more off of the eye test? I thought it was easier to give the nod. Well, I mean, I ended up giving ultimately the nod to Georgia on both last two and last five. But I feel like last five is a little bit less arguable for Alabama because of Georgia's back-to-back national championships. But it sounds like you were mentioning like the eye test.
Correct.
It sounded like you were going off of like, hey, man, you know, the talent being produced. I mean, yeah, Georgia was able to win. Like, and to be fair, one of those championships when they beat Alabama in 21, we did look pretty damn good in that game. That was your Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy. So we had a Heisman Trophy winner during that time. That's a good point. We didn't bring that one up. I'm glad you. So it's good that you kind of pushed the envelope a little bit here. But we had an injury that, not saying that, I mean, I think most people would agree that, yeah, that injury definitely played an impact. I don't know. If he doesn't get hurt, it seemed like Georgia secondary had no answer for those guys once he got hurt. We love our guy Slade, man. Slade hops on the show all the time. Slade couldn't do it himself, man. And at that point, it was then we were down Mechie and J-Mo. So just things look different after that. Just like in 2016, Bo broke his leg that second half in the running game. Just didn't quite look the same. Well, as much as I would love to continue this debate, we got to get out of here because that is our time for today. But don't worry, because tomorrow we got some fun stuff planned. We'll do some projected starters on offense, circle back to projected. We'll just do the whole team at this point. We'll revisit defense. And I'll think of some more good debate questions like this because I like this. Get you guys involved, man. And I like this barbershop kind of talk, man. It's always fun to do. But we got to get out of here. Before we do, got to remind you about our friends over at Lampro, the Law Education Advocacy. Make sure you guys check them out. Again, if you're a high school student, college, or graduate student, or you have those, they will help them out with mentoring, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, and of course, long-term academic personal planning as well. But don't forget, for representation, whether it's NIL, First Amendment cases, and of course, any criminal defense matters, they'll do it with genuine care, passion, and relentless advocacy. Make sure you check them out because they're going to beat anybody's rate, anybody's price. They do it at an affordable rate, 201-317-5115, or you can always email adam@lamprillo-law.com. That's Lamprillo Law, the official representation of the Miller's Edge right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll see you guys tomorrow.